even when she'd been convinced he'd break her heart. Yet she'd still given him that heart to shatter, if that was what he wanted to do with it.
"Come here, baby,"
he growled, hunger filling his eyes, his expression.
"Come here, my love."
He undressed her first, then himself, the lamp's glow washing over the sun-loved color of his flesh, emphasizing his powerful chest, hard muscular abs, and lean thighs, and the thick length of his cock. As he moved over her, his kisses sent hungry flames of need licking through her senses, pleasure pulsing through her veins like adrenaline as he pushed between her thighs, one knee pressed into the cushion of the couch and the other braced on the floor. His deep, rough growl as her knees lifted, clasping his hips, had her breath hitching in her throat. The signs of his pleasure made her feel more feminine, sexier than before. With one hand, he guided the crest of his erection to the aching flesh between her thighs, tucked it against the slick opening, then began pushing inside her. The sensual, stretching heat battered her senses as he worked the stiff shaft inside her, impaling her with a rush of brilliant sensation.
"That's it, baby,"
he groaned at her ear, his voice rough, his touch, his kiss, demanding.
"So fucking sweet. God help me. I love you. Love you so much, sweet Chelsea."
As he thrust to the hilt inside her then, she lost her breath. The sound of his vow, the heat of his body, his possession, overwhelmed her. He had all of her, but now, she held all of him. Heart and soul, and everything in between. With his lips loving hers, tongue parting them and thrusting inside, he spilled the heated spice she'd grown addicted to as the sensations built to a critical level. She loved him. She loved this. Loved the waves of exquisite pleasure that rushed through her when he touched her, when he stole her sanity with each heart thrust inside her body.
"I dreamed of this,"
he groaned, each sturdy, powerful thrust, rasping and caressing tissue, growing more sensitive with each drag of his cock through the snug depths. Breathing heavy, their gasps filling the silence of the house, she cried out as those bands of sensual, erotic tension tightened, pushing her higher, closer to the edge of the maelstrom. With each thrust, that storm inside her became more powerful, binding her heart ever deeper to him.
"Fuck yes,"
he groaned at her ear when the storm overtook her. She arched into his thrusts, feeling his hand clasp her hip, his hips moving faster, stroking flames through her senses that overtook her in the next breath. The explosion was fiery. Waves of pure ecstasy battering at her senses now. When he followed her, the barb locked him inside her. The eruption of violent sensation detonated again, quaking through every cell of her body as his release followed hers.
"I love you,"
she cried out, sobbing with the pleasure, knowing nothing could ever be more perfect than this.
"Oh, God, Colin, I love you."
Shock filled him. His father's heart was breaking at the words he heard through the listening device he'd managed to place in Cullen's home. He'd actually been willing to let Chelsea live after all. The risks in killing her himself were too high, just as putting out another contract risked having the Cervez family coming after him. From all appearances, and everything he heard, he was beginning to believe that if Cullen no longer thought someone wanted to kill Chelsea, his affair with her would pass, just as the others had, those whores whose bed Cullen had shared. Even Ranger's certainty that she carried the mating mark was in doubt. After all, It could have just been a love bite. As the sounds of animal lust began, he hurriedly switched off the device, Cullen's declaration to Chelsea causing his stomach to pitch with sickening disgust. He'd lost his daughter, the only bright spot in his life. Her loss had broken him, just as it had broken Marcia. As long as Cullen stayed away from the woman Lauren had sensed her husband was bound to, then Arthur had let things be. Then Ranger had warned him Cullen had become obsessed when Chelsea resigned from the agency. Pacing, snapping, having Ranger check on her every few days, Arthur had sensed what was coming. He'd been certain that hiring that coyote was the answer, but the bastard just had to try to use a blade rather than a bullet. Chelsea had lived, and the coyote had died. Moving to the window, he stared out across the street at Cullen's house. The soft glow of the living room lamp, the occasional flash of a shadow against the curtains, was something he'd not seen there until Cullen had brought Chelsea to his home. Before, the house had always been dark, not even a porch light burning. Cullen left for work before daylight and returned well after dark, and he'd never brought a woman to the house, preferring to do whatever he did with them, then return to his own bed. And it wasn't like that anymore. His daughter was gone, and the man who could have saved her felt it was okay that he hadn't. A tear escaped the corner of his eye at the memory of the hope that had been stolen from them. Raymond had been certain Lauren could be saved when he came to Arthur with the plan. All Lauren had to do was convince the breed to fall in love with her. That was all it took for the mating heat to begin. Then, Lauren would be cured. They were certain that soon she'd be healthy again. Until Lauren had called while on her honeymoon, the very day after her marriage. She'd been sobbing, swearing she'd sensed Chelsea's thoughts with her new husband. She swore she remembered the feeling from her youth, when she'd met another member of the family whose thoughts of her had been incredibly distasteful. She'd been upset for days. Hysterical, inconsolable, she swore Chelsea had called to Cullen's recessed animal for that split second, and that animal was bonded to her. Lauren's gift hadn't been strong enough to read whatever the thoughts were. She hadn't been strong enough to be healthy, or strong enough to ensure that Cullen mated her, so she'd live. Chelsea had taken it all. She'd taken Lauren's ability to read projected thoughts, her health, her strength. But worst of all, she'd taken Lauren's mate, leaving her to die. Did Cullen really think that bitch would be allowed to live? Chelsea had to pay for letting Lauren die, just as Cullen had to pay. Hell. No one would have cared if Cullen took the little whore to his bed, if he'd just healed Lauren. Lauren's dreams had been to marry Ranger, to give him children, and live her life with him. A healthy life. They hadn't asked Cullen for that much. All they had asked was that he heal the wife he had sworn to protect. "Do you believe me now?" Ranger asked from the darkness behind him.
"What are we going to do, Arthur?"
Arthur sighed wearily.
"Did you take care of the custodian who let you into Morales's cell?"
he asked, watching the light and shadows from the house across the street.
"He's dead," Ranger assured him. "I put the bullet in his head myself." "Then we're safe," Arthur said softly. "And we can make Cullen and Chelsea both pay for allowing our Lauren to die. Now, they'll both have to suffer for what was taken away from us, Ranger."
Both of them. Chapter 22. From Graham's Journal, The Recessed Primal Breed.
Ever vigilant. Always searching. Each sight, each sound,
Every scent that touches its senses is a piece of information, an instinctive puzzle the primal pieces together. He's always searching, always waiting, existing for one reason, the survival of his mate. The next night, Cullen eased from the bed, the restlessness plaguing him, refusing to rest. Next to him, Chelsea slept deeply, her breathing slow and even. Physical and emotional satisfaction surrounded her, as did peace. She wasn't just calm, she was at peace, and sensing that filled him with pride. Now, if only he could still the deepening sense of something not quite right, that warning energy that he couldn't find a cause for. Rising from the bed and retrieving the clothes and boots he'd shed earlier, Cullen dressed quickly, silently, before making his way from the house. Darkness closed around him, shielding his presence. The dark clothing he wore blended into the shadows, hiding him from normal eyesight and ensuring that he blended into the dark. As he freed the primal senses, the scents surrounding him flooded his mind, and there were so many scents. This was why so few breeds lived within cities, he knew. There were too many scents. It made it difficult to distinguish individual smells, unless the breed knew what to look for or had already scented the prey. Tracking through the night, he made his way around the block, house to house, finding nothing to trigger suspicion or that primal warning again. Until he reached the ravine at the back of his property. There, he caught a smell he knew shouldn't be there. Ranger. The other man had been watching the back of the house. There was a faint scent of a desert runner, no doubt what the man had used to travel through the desert. Now why the hell was his former co-commander watching his home? His eyes narrowed as his gaze swept over the ravine, his breed sight picking up the slightest details right down to the impression of a body as it lay just out of sight, enabling the watcher to peek over the rise and watch the back of the house. And he was armed. That faint metallic scent drifted to his nostrils as a grimace pulled at his lips. Ranger needed to clean his rifle again. He was amazingly lax when it came to keeping his weapon in peak condition. There had been a time that Cullen had automatically cleaned Ranger's weapon at the office when he'd cleaned his own. That had stopped years ago, when Ranger had just dropped the gun to his desk one day with an absent order to clean it for him. Cullen hadn't cleaned the gun. He'd all but thrown it back at Ranger, his reaction so quick, so explosive. It hadn't just shocked Ranger. It had shocked Cullen as well. Years of what he'd believed was friendship flashed through his mind. There were so many instances when he should have known that the friendship was deliberately cultivated, and the many ways Ranger had used it. Some humans had an almost animalistic sense, an instinctive cunning for how to best use others. They could subconsciously size up strengths, weaknesses, and the other's potential to benefit their lives or goals. Ranger had that instinct. Cullen simply hadn't wanted to admit that the man he called friend used it as he did. Jumping lightly into the ravine, he came to a crouch, drawing in the scents carefully, lifting the cover just a bit to a well of such vast knowledge and impulses that he found himself keeping it carefully contained. The well was chaos, supercharged, and he was pretty damned certain that it was best to keep it tightly closed, just as he often cautioned his brother to do with the primal. That small bit he allowed free was like a drug rush, though. Suddenly his senses were so sharp, so clear, that for a brief second it was dizzying. The impulse to throw the cover open flared briefly through his head, only to be instantly denied. He'd found that calm within his mind after coming to the nation. After staring into a 12-year-old girl's dark gaze and instinctively becoming locked within the calm that was such a part of her. She'd shared her sense of security, her sense of place within the world, he realized. The moment he'd felt her shock that he refused the food, the animal instinct inside him had instantly recognized the child for what she would be, latched on, and drawn that serenity she carried deep inside him. And it had all been done so seamlessly, without Colin ever realizing that his breed genetics were awake within him, but simply refusing to react until ready. Not when Colin wanted it to awaken or react, but when the animal deemed the time had arrived. Now, drawing on that powerful inner darkness waiting at the edges of awareness, he identified the sense the ravine carried and the essence of the man who had been hiding there. Hatred was the strongest scent, acrid and bitter, like bile against the back of the tongue. It was the strongest of the emotions left behind. Beneath it was confidence, deception. He was certain that whatever his goal was would be achieved. That certainty had its own scent, its own bitter dregs that Cullen's senses found distasteful. Beneath it all, the hatred, confidence, and deception was the scent of madness. And Cullen knew that scent well. It was similar to the scent Graham sometimes carried. But whereas the scent Graham carried was a quick, hard assault to the senses, it didn't carry the dark undertones of blood, no matter how much blood his brother shed. Graham believed death was the only way to rid the world of monsters. Let them live and they might breed, and some freak of genetics might well breed another monster. He didn't believe in mercy. Justice was justice, he would often say, and unaccepted acts required what the world viewed as unacceptable reactions. This scent of madness, rather than a sharp, shocking burst, was just an assault to the senses, despite the faintness of it. And it lingered in a way that had a sudden rumble of a growl threatening to escape his throat. A second later, he stilled, another scent reaching his senses as it crept up behind him. The wolf was making just enough noise to alert Cullen that he was there. Rising from his crouched position, Cullen caught sight of the breed moving through the shadows, the dangerous wariness he used to stalk the night almost hidden, yet Cullen recognized it instantly. Remaining crouched, he waited, drawing in Draeger's scent, and realizing the wolf wasn't there because he'd sensed Cullen's presence. It wasn't a scent he was stalking, but the feeling that something far too dangerous lurked in the night. Animal senses could be amazingly perceptive, with or without scent. Releasing a soft, growling alert of his presence, more a welcome than a warning, he saw the wolf tense before immediately relaxing. In the next breath, he dropped into the ravine, then crouched a good 10 feet from where Cullen relaxed back on his haunches.
"Aren't you a surprise?"
Draeger muttered, his voice pitched low enough that Cullen was certain it went no farther than them.
"I couldn't smell you out here, but I damn sure felt that burst of whatever the hell you released. Had the hairs on the back of my neck standing straight up."
"Wonderful." He'd end up having to tell Graham about this, simply to see if it was something his brother had experienced, and if accessing those darker senses could be hidden. Cullen murmured, meeting the wolf breed's look.
"Tell me, have you caught his scent?"
He didn't have to say who.
"I found it about half an hour ago,"
Draeger told him as he neared Cullen.
"I was canvassing the area to make certain it went no farther. So far, it's confined here. But his scent is off some way. Has my instincts bristling." "Yeah. Yours and mine both,"
he admitted, rising slowly and moving closer to where Ranger had positioned himself.
"He had his weapon with him. I know because I recognize the scent of it. He doesn't keep it cleaned. It has a distinct scent from the ammunition he uses." "Damn, son, that's a hell of a nose you have." Draeger commented, surprised. I caught the scent of a weapon, but that was about it. I couldn't pin it down.
Rising to his feet, he came nearer, drawing in the scent at the location Ranger had rested.
That's still all I catch.
Cullen could feel his intense gaze flickering back to him again.
Why did you slip around me? You could have let me know you were out here.
Cullen shrugged.
I didn't slip around you. I was restless and decided to check the area myself. I caught his scent as I neared the ravine and decided to check it out.
As you neared the ravine? Draeger asked with a bit of surprise.
I was in the ravine and almost at this position before I caught the scent.
Propping his hands on his hips, Cullen let his gaze sweep through the night as he ignored Draeger's comment.
This is downwind of the house, Draeger pointed out, resting one hand on the sidearm at his thigh. Would have been easy to hide here. It's farther out than we patrol.
He breathed out heavily.
Bastard. Where's Tobias?
Cullen asked him.
Draeger tapped his ear, indicating the small communications device he and Tobias used. He said to tell you the dinner smells coming from your house every evening are killing him.
Cullen let a grin edge at his lips. He'd end up gaining weight at this rate. He looked around once again, asking himself what the hell Ranger was doing watching his home. Home. It had always just been the house before. Now, because of Chelsea, it was home. It was the soft glow of lamps lighting the room, the smell of something she was cooking drifting through the house, the scent of lemon furniture polish after she straightened each room, and now, the faint glow of the kitchen nightlight she'd plugged in at the counter, a welcoming invitation of warmth. It was also a perfect tool used by predators to detect movement in the house.
Let's get back to the house.
Cullen turned and headed back the way Draeger had moved in. Concentrating on Chelsea with that little edge of power he'd released, he realized he could sense her. She was still sleeping, a deep, heavy sleep that she rarely slipped into. Sliding beneath the arch of the covered patio, he eased behind one of the stucco columns, drew two of the cigars he carried in his pocket free, and handed one to Draeger.
Appreciate it, the wolf nodded. Fucking Tobias found my stash and I haven't had a chance to replace them yet. He's still alive?
Cullen asked, his voice low but amused as he lit his own cigar before extending the lighter to the other breed. Lighting the rolled tobacco, Draeger gave the lighter back to Cullen.
I fucking hate Dane for getting me started on these, he growled.
Cullen shot Draeger a wry look.
His family makes these damn things in Africa, just for the breeds. The blend was specially created so it doesn't block our senses or linger in them once we're finished. All the pleasure, none of the pain,
he drawled.
Draeger made an agreeable sound. This is some good stuff, though. I can be madder than hell and ready to rip someone's head off. Smoke one of these fuckers, and I'll consider letting them live for a while longer.
Holding the slender cigar between two fingers, Cullen considered it for long moments. Maybe he should have Graham check them out. Lifting it to his lips, he drew in the fragrant smoke once again. Hell, he'd been smoking them this long, a few more days wouldn't hurt.
You know, Tobias and I were at the Cervez compound meeting with a contact when Chelsea busted through those gates with that little girl of Samara's.
He leaned back against the column beside him, facing Cullen.
We saw you rush her out of there as fast as hell, before Samara came looking for her. I was terrified that kid would be dead before they got her to the doctors waiting in the estate, and certain Samara would kill Chelsea if that happened.
Compassion flashed in his expression.
Instead, she's spent weeks since searching for the woman who rescued her little girl and gave her those final days with her. Doesn't sound like the stories of the Blood Queen, does it?
Cullen remarked.
I didn't see you there. You were keeping yourselves well hidden. We were there for intel and stayed in the shadows.
He sighed.
You know they took the kid because the Cervezes refused to use their informants to keep the council apprised of Breed movements in the area.
A bitter smile touched the wolf's expression.
See, little Luisa loved all things Breed. And if Luisa loved it, then there wasn't a chance in hell they were touching it.
So those coyotes took her daughter instead. She's childless and looking for a daughter.
I have a feeling, after that little meeting you told me about at Lobo Reavers, Samara Cervez thinks she's found a daughter.
Cullen hadn't missed Samara's affection for Chelsea before they'd left the Reaver estate. The other woman, though grief-stricken, had remarked that she'd always imagined Luisa would have the same gentle soul Chelsea had, as well as the same reckless courage.
Not as long as she's a criminal.
Cullen shook his head.
Chelsea won't have it.
Draeger chuckled at the observation.
When Chelsea was attacked by that coyote, I wondered if that had something to do with her rescue of Luisa,
the Breed admitted then.
Then came the Morales hit, and I was sure of it. So I did a little checking and finally found the coyote's partner. Tobias and I had a little talk with him earlier today. It seems the one who attacked Chelsea told him the hit came not because of anything she'd done.
He paused, watching Cullen carefully.
It was because of me, Cullen guessed then. Someone guessed I was getting ready to take her as my lover.
Draeger nodded with a short, abrupt movement before inhaling from the cigar, then lowering it to his thigh.
The partner didn't know who it was. It was information he was supposed to get later, but didn't because I killed his little friend. But if it's because of you, after the shit Ranger was spouting and now his presence in the ravine, I'm guessing it was him.
That wasn't the man he'd known, Cullen thought bitterly. The man he'd known had been a friend and a confidant, but the hatred Cullen had glimpsed in Ranger's eyes now made him a very dangerous stranger. Drawing on the cigar, he frowned, that restlessness and sense of wild fury clawing at him again. Lowering the cigar to his thigh, he drew in the sense of the night, and still couldn't place what was bothering him so deeply. Just to be sure, he directed his senses to the wolf breed. What he sensed from the wolf was the same as it had always been, that core of animalistic honor, human will, and breed fury. A silent, soul-deep fury they all felt, but fought to hide even from themselves, Cullen knew. At least, until they mated.
Whoever it is,
Cullen said softly, the knowledge of it a certainty that filled his head.
They'll try again. I can feel it coming. I've felt it for days now.
His gaze swept the night beyond the patio and still couldn't detect anything, but he could feel it. Like a tendril of sullen fury reaching out to him, he could sense it.
Yeah,
Draeger agreed, a hiss of sound that would have done any feline proud.
I can feel it like a breath at the back of my neck. Tobias has been itchy, too. Tonight that feeling's particularly irritating, you know?
Yeah, he knew exactly what the wolf was talking about. That feeling had his nerves on edge.
You should get her out of here, Cullen,
Draeger told him quietly.
Get her to Graham's. She'd be safer there.
Yes, she would be. Hell, he should have stayed there instead of bringing her back. Maybe he should move her tonight. A faint sound from Draeger had his head jerking around, his gaze finding the wolf. He was slumped against the post he'd been leaning on, his eyes open, panicked as he slowly slid to the ground. Aware, but unable to move. Helpless. Stunned by the paralytic the council had created to hold Breed's bodies completely still, muscles relaxed, no matter how much pain the scientists inflicted. Even as his gaze found Draeger, Cullen was jumping for the back door, desperate to get to Chelsea. and it was already too late. He felt the dart bite into his neck, the instant, burning, paralyzing effects sweeping through his body as the wild fury he'd sensed trapped inside him broke the bonds containing it. His mate was defenseless. Graham's estate. The report in his hand fluttered to the metal table as Graham froze, becoming completely still, the primal jerking awake. Instantly, the twin bond he shared with Cullen snapped into place. Everything his brother sensed or felt in that moment, Graham knew with crystal-clear awareness. The absolute fury and maddened rage of Cullen's primal struggled against the paralytic, fully awake now and pushing past breed resistance. There was no time to warn his mate. Bangle markings burned over Graham's skin, claws ripping through the tips of his fingers as strength surged through his body and a roar echoed through the caverns. Within seconds, a powerful black motorcycle shot into the night, the creature riding it enraged and out for blood. And it knew the faces of its victims and the scent of their malevolence. Hell. He should have killed Ranger and Arthur Holden when he'd wanted to, years ago. Chapter 23. From Graham's Journal, The Recessed Primal Breed. Once called to protect his mate, and given freedom by the breed pushed to the last edge of hope, the primal will know no mercy, nor will the breed. Chelsea came awake instantly, her eyes flaring open, an overwhelming sense of panic causing her to roll off the bed and drop soundlessly to the carpeted floor. The black silk shirt Cullen had worn earlier still lay crumpled on the floor next to the nightstand and her pack. Pulling the compact automatic weapon from the side pocket of the pack, she laid it beside her and hurriedly pulled the shirt on, quickly buttoning it. Thankfully, it was a short-sleeved shirt, and she didn't have to take time to roll the sleeves up. She grabbed the wrinkled sweatpants that lay half under the bed and jerked them on quickly, her gaze moving around the darkness, searching for whatever had brought her awake. The automatic, icy containment of all emotions, especially fear or panic, kept her heartbeat regular, or kind of regular, allowing her to hear every sound rather than her racing heartbeat. Unfortunately, there was nothing to hear. The house was quiet and dark. The soft glow of the kitchen nightlight was absent, the partially open bedroom door showing nothing but darkness beyond. And she knew Cullen would have never turned that light out. He wasn't in the bed with her either. She peeked over the edge of the mattress, just to be certain. And there was definitely no Cullen. The knowledge that whatever woke her was dangerous crawled over her flesh. That sensation assured her that danger was in the house with her. Holding her weapon carefully at the side of her thigh, she crept silently to the partially open door and let her gaze slide to what she could see of the hall. Where was Cullen? Why wasn't he in the bed with her? He wouldn't have left her alone and gone anywhere without her. He was too protective, too possessive. So where was he? Staying completely silent and allowing her gaze to adjust to the darkness, Chelsea lowered herself closer to the floor before sliding through the narrow opening between the door and the frame. Any movement of the door would alert an intruder that she was awake, and she wanted to make certain she saw them first. Once in the hall, she remained low to the floor, watching the darkness carefully. There were no odd shadows or shapes that she could glimpse, nothing to indicate why the lights were out or what had brought her so quickly awake. She could only see part of the kitchen and living room, and she debated the best way to slide from the hallway. The living room door was closer, but something kept drawing her gaze to the kitchen. A sensation or overwhelming impulse. Moving her gaze around the darkness again, she noticed that everything looked normal. If there was danger, and she was certain there was, then it was just out of sight.
But which way?
Rather than moving, she stayed completely still and waited. Watched. Part of her training for the Breed Underground had been just this, remaining still and silent, unmoving, while she tried to outwait her trainers. In this case, she wasn't trying to outwait anyone as nice as her trainers. She could feel the tension slowly gathering inside her, an assurance that whoever was out there was waiting as well.
Where are you, Cullen?
The ice around her emotions threatened to crack when she couldn't sense him, couldn't feel him. Whatever she felt in that moment sent a chill up her spine, and panic threatened to break through the ice. She felt maddened violence unchained.
What the hell could that be?
Where was Cullen? Even as that thought passed through her, the suddenness of the attack, when it came, shocked her. The blow to her head wasn't enough to knock her out. Instead, she was thrown to the floor, her weapon falling from her hand as she fought to remain conscious. A second later, harsh fingers gripped the hair at the back of her neck, dragging her to her feet as she cried out at the pain.
There you are, pretty girl.
A dark, sinister voice crooned, his curved canines flashing in the dark as black eyes gleamed with malicious pleasure.
Wanna be my chew toy? Not yet.
The voice that came out of the dark sent a searing surge of bitter betrayal tearing through her. The coyote quickly jerked her around to face the man who spoke, Arthur Holden. But standing beside him was Theodore Ranger, and in their eyes she saw the promise of pain.
Let's go, Ranger ordered, nodding to the back door. Before we're seen.
Pain exploded in her head then, stealing consciousness and hope. Her last thought, what happened to Cullen? Cullen felt Chelsea's sudden silence. It wasn't like sleep where he could sense her peace or her calm. She was suddenly just gone. Minutes later, the back door opened. The sense of the three passing mingled with Chelsea's. The fury already raging through him exploded with greater force at the sense he identified. Arthur and Ranger, and with them a coyote breed whose malignant scent and stench of old blood marked him as a council breed. As they passed, carrying his mate, strength surged through him, primal power and strength erupting beneath his flesh. Claws tore through the tips of his fingers, stripes burned across his flesh, and a consuming, insane rage pushed the last of the effects of the paralytic from his body. Distantly, he realized the shock Draeger experienced as Cullen flipped to his feet and into a crouch. He heard the sound of a helijet that had landed just after he went down and was powering up, preparing to lift off. Launching himself toward the black craft, he ran across the property behind his house, a roar ripping from his throat. The helijet lifted from the ground as he neared it, gaining altitude even as he pushed himself up, springing toward the aircraft with another enraged roar. He almost managed to secure a fingerhold. Almost. A feline scream shattered the night as he hit the ground, and the helijet shot through the night sky, taking his mate with it. With his teeth bared, the furious guttural sound tore from his throat, echoing through the night as his twin appeared beside him. They'd taken his mate.
"Get the runner," Graham snarled. "She has a tag under her skin and I have the tracker. We'll find her, Cullen. I promise you, we'll find her."
Chelsea came awake slowly, fighting the nauseating pain in her head. Arthur and Ranger hadn't given a damn about damage, had they? She could feel her eye already swelling, throbbing horribly right along with her head. Concussion, maybe. Several deep bruises. Nothing broken. And she was fucking cold. Of course, she wasn't exactly dressed for strolling through the desert night.
Our little chew toy's awake.
A sinister chuckle sent a chill racing up her spine.
We'll get to play soon.
Forcing back a shiver, she told herself Cullen would be there soon. He'd come for her as soon as he realized she was gone.
Open your eyes, bitch.
A kick to her thigh, hard enough to pull an involuntary cry from her lips that was met with a low chuckle. Chelsea glared through the tangle of hair that fell over her eyes. The longer they waited to kill her, the better her chances of survival. The other two coyotes weren't alone at the low fire, drinking coffee, and that coffee smelled almost good. Sitting with them were Arthur and Ranger.
Look how angry those eyes are,
Arthur sighed.
As though she has a right to that anger.
She had a right to her anger. Of course, she wasn't the crazy one.
You made all this incredibly easy, Chelsea,
Arthur told her, regret filling his tone and his expression.
Though I had actually decided to let you live, to let my anger go, until Cullen mated you.
The two coyotes sitting at the fire watched her with cold, unblinking eyes.
Cullen will kill you, Arthur, she told him, her voice bleak. You'll never get away with it.
Why do you think that?
The taunting smile on his face was actually scary. Carefully taking in everything around her, Chelsea began quickly formulating the best way to escape. Her options were actually rather limited, though. Arthur stood next to the runner parked just behind them. Ranger sat on the hood, his booted feet propped on the metal brush guards as he watched her with hard, hate-filled eyes. To his side was another runner, the running lights at the sides of the vehicle actually lit and glowing dimly in the darkness of the night. There were two coyotes hunched next to the fire, sipping coffee silently, their gazes hooded as they watched her. The third coyote stood by the runner, anticipation gleaming in black eyes, his scarred face highlighted by the flickering flames.
You didn't answer me, Chelsea,
Arthur snapped, frowning at her as he walked toward her, the hatred in his face causing her stomach to sink.
What makes you think Cullen will kill me? Do you think he knows either Ranger or I was there?
His smile was triumphant.
Word will reach Cullen in a few days that you were taken by the dogs that killed the Cervez brat. And your body will never be found. But he can sense you, can't he?
His look was filled with pleasure now.
And he'll know the hell you're experiencing. A hell even these dirty dogs can't compare to.
Arthur missed the looks the two coyotes slid his way at the insult. She had a feeling they might end up killing him before Cullen ever managed to arrive, if the looks the two breeds shared were any indication.
He'll smell you, she told him wearily. You and Ranger both.
Not so.
Arthur smiled, the flickering firelight throwing a reddened hue over his expression as he stood above her.
We used a scent blocker ourselves. His animalism may be active now, but it's distinctively weak. Otherwise, he would have caught the fact that I've been staying in the house across from him for months.
The bastard was crazy, and it was obvious neither he nor Ranger knew anything about breeds or how their instincts worked. And those coyotes sure as hell weren't helping them out.
You can give up hoping for a rescue, Ranger called out to her then. Cullen has no idea where you are or who took you. And by the time the effects of the paralytic he was shot up with wear off, you'll be long gone.
Oh, God.
The paralytic was one of the most horrifying drugs created to use on the breeds while they were in captivity.
She is figuring it out now,
Arthur said quietly.
She's not as stupid as we thought she was.
That paralytic could last up to 8 hours, in some cases longer. She could be dead by the time he found her. Or what he said? Long gone? She wasn't going to make it easy for them. She would have her chance, she promised herself, and the longer they fucked around, the greater her chances of actually managing to get away. It wouldn't be easy, but she'd take whatever she could get. "He'll kill you the hardest, Ranger," she warned him. "Cullen trusted you."
"Of course he did," Ranger shrugged, unaffected. "I made sure of it when your Uncle Ray told us what he was. If his breed status changed, then we needed to know so Council soldiers could reacquire him."
There was no way she could hide her surprise.
"Yes, the Genetics Council."
Arthur smiled cruelly at her look.
"Covering our tracks when Ray died wasn't easy. Do you really think he was the only one watching those bastards? Your breed underground is good, but the Council is better, and they've been at it far longer. You could never guess the men and women you meet almost every day who are part of a very organized network to keep track of those fucking animals and the dumbasses who support them."
The coyotes glanced at each other, their expressions flickering with distaste. They didn't like being called animals. Go figure.
"With you gone, his mind tormented by that little gift you have to communicate with him, especially while you're screaming in agony, I bet. Then we'll have our revenge. When we're tired of tormenting him, then we'll take him out. Or the Council will come for him."
Ranger grinned, the thought of it evidently giving him a large measure of satisfaction.
"Lauren really didn't want Cullen hurt."
Arthur sighed, his voice saddened as he stared down at her.
"She had a good heart, despite his betrayal. He could have saved her, though, but he let her die instead. He has to pay for that."
Chelsea shook her head desperately.
"He would have saved her if he could."
Fury instantly transformed Arthur's face.
"How could he save her when you refused to allow him to do so?"
he burst out, enraged. Before she could avoid the blow, he backhanded her with enough force to throw her to the side, her mouth filling with blood as waves of dizziness began washing through her.
"She knew you were the reason he wouldn't mate her. She knew you were his mate."
"I was 12,
she gasped, weakly spitting out blood and trying to breathe through the pain. "Oh, God, that hurt. That hurt so bad."
"You were, and still are, nothing but a fucking whore,"
Arthur screamed.
"She knew every time he could sense you. You wouldn't let him go. Not even long enough for him to save her."
His foot connected with her hip, and the agony that streaked through her pulled a hoarse cry from her throat. The pain shattered her senses, causing her stomach to heave sickeningly.
"Enough, Arthur," Ranger ordered. "Leave something for your dogs to chew on later, or they'll feel cheated." "She deserves to pay."
His breath heaved in and out of his chest.
"If she had left him alone, Lauren would have lived."
Chelsea fought to keep from passing out. Dark waves of agony kept rolling through her senses, making her wonder if he'd broken her hip.
"Breeds never mate children,"
one of the coyotes sneered.
"The animal won't respond to a female who's physically incapable of enduring the heat." "Lauren knew he would mate her." "That sounds like a personal problem to me,"
the other coyote laughed.
"I don't care what the bitch did. I just want to make sure she still has a little fight in her when it's time for us to play." "And you wonder why I call them dogs, Ranger,"
Arthur sneered, moving away from her.
"I didn't say I wondered why," Ranger laughed. "I said one day, one of them will end up killing you for it."
She wished they'd kill him now. Where was Cullen? He really needed to hurry and rescue her now. If he didn't hurry, then she might not survive the night. What were they waiting for anyway? Chelsea fought the shudders threatening to tear through her body. She was too cold to restrain the deep tremors, and that made it harder to push back the pain. Cullen's shirt and her thin cotton sweats weren't much protection.
What time is it?
Arthur snapped from where he paced by the fire.
Have they contacted yet?
They. The Genetics Council. She had to find a way to get away from them. She didn't have much time left.
Not yet,
the third coyote answered.
They shouldn't be much longer. They had to make a stop first.
Cullen had told her the Genetics Council would love to get their hands on a Bengal breed mate, and it looked like Arthur intended to give them one.
You won't get away with this, Arthur.
She had to swallow back the need to vomit.
Cullen will make certain of it.
Cullen will be too busy grieving for his mate.
He laughed gleefully.
This is actually much better than having you killed as I first planned. This way, Cullen suffers as Ranger suffered. Terran knows the hell I've lived, and you get to pay for Lauren's death. It works out beautifully. Once the council scientist who's arriving confirms the mating, you'll be taken to one of their facilities. That's your punishment, and Cullen's, for letting my daughter die.
He was crazy. Chelsea stared back at him in shock.
Arthur, don't do this!
She couldn't believe the horrible evil spilling from his mouth.
Lauren wouldn't have wanted you to do this.
Lauren's dead, Chelsea, he stated brutally. She's been dead for a very long time, and I've waited long enough to make certain Cullen pays for it.
There was no convincing him. She could see the insanity gleaming in his eyes.
I love you, Cullen.
Closing her eyes, Chelsea sent the thought out, hoping he was right about sensing the strongest of her emotions. She turned her head to look at the stones behind her when she realized the boulders she'd been resting against before Arthur's blow held darker, deeper shadows stretching out behind them. Her eyes narrowed, realizing that behind the rocks there was actually what appeared to be a small entrance into the wall of the shallow canyon they'd brought her to. Dragging herself back to a sitting position against the rocks, she had to keep from blacking out as pain shot from her hip, exploding in it as she struggled to pull herself up. Resting back against the rocks, she lowered her head and drew in a deep breath, watching them from beneath her lashes. If she got lucky, really lucky, maybe it was deep enough that she could slip inside it and the narrowness of the entrance could hide her scent. Graham had said the hormonal therapy he injected her with had an added scent blocker, that it wouldn't completely hide her scent, but it wouldn't carry as far. She just needed them to be distracted for a minute, that was all. Instead of becoming distracted, though, the quieter of the three coyotes never took his eyes off her. Each time she let her gaze drift to the fire and the coffee pot sitting on the rocks next to it, she realized he was watching her. The other coyote had leaned back against a boulder, eyes closed. The third stood with Ranger. Arthur paced or stood with his back to her and talked to Ranger as the younger man rested back against the windshield of the runner. Her gaze moved to the coffee again. It was smelling better by the minute, and the scent was drifting to her, teasing her with the knowledge of the warmth it would hold. It was then she realized she was actually downwind of them. If she did manage to slide behind the rocks behind her and into the hidden entrance extending into the wall, then her scent might actually be hidden enough that she could get away with it. Sliding her gaze to the fire once again, she saw the tallest of the coyotes fill his coffee cup, then bump his buddy's shoulder with some laughing comment. The other gave a low, approving laugh as the coyote strode away from the fire toward her. Arthur and Ranger glanced at the movement, then turned back to their conversation. Of the three coyotes, the one nearing her was by far the most dangerous. Tall, corded muscles shifted beneath his khaki-colored pants and shirt, and his gaze was piercing. His eyes weren't black, she didn't believe, but she doubted they contained any mercy either.
"Hey, man, give her some for me,"
the coyote with Ranger called out, laughing.
"I'll give her some for you later."
Oh, God.
Stopping next to her, the coyote hunched on his knees, the steaming coffee held between his hands.
"You look cold."
He extended the cup, the metal rim touching her lips as she watched him warily. He gave a slight nod toward the cup.
"Go on, before they get suspicious and Holden decides to come over and see what we're doing."
He pressed the cup a little more firmly against the seam of her lips and tilted it as they parted. The heated liquid dribbled over her lips and to her tongue. The moist heat flowed from the cup, and as she swallowed, she swore she felt the heat sinking to her body. Pausing briefly, he would wait, tip the cup to her lips again, and give her more, letting her sip at it greedily until she didn't care that she could taste the decaf. She was so cold she didn't give a damn if it was decaf or not. She needed the heat.
"Come on, dog. Make the show interesting, man,"
the other coyote called out.
"I know how shy you can be."
Hard lips quirked at the snicker from behind him.
"Can you run?"
he asked, his tone so low she could barely hear him, and the question shocked her. She pulled the surprise back and pushed it behind the ice. She was downwind of the other coyote, but it was better not to take chances.
"The hip," she muttered. "I won't be fast."
"Bastard."
The curse was a quiet, insulting hiss.
"Who are you?"
she asked, glancing to the fire as the coyote stood with Ranger and Arthur now, obviously regaling them with some story.
"Don't worry about who I am. Now here's how we are going to do this."
He kept his gaze on hers, intent, demanding.
"And you have to do exactly as I say."
"Why help me? You killed Louisa,"
she accused him painfully.
"Why help me and not her?"
"Not me or my partner."
Something cold and vicious flashed in his gaze.
"But they don't know that. If you want to live, shut up and pay attention."
She shut right up. Chapter 24. From Graham's journal, The Recessed Primal Breed. Once free, the primal will track his mate or his enemy to the ends of the earth if he must. And God help the enemy if he's found with the primal's mate. Cullen could sense his mate. She was alive, reaching out to him and preparing to run. He swore he could feel her plotting, though he could also sense her certainty that he would come to her. She knew he would, but she was determined to help herself as well, believing that if she could manage to get away, then the danger to him would be lessened. Wild courage and soul-deep independence. That was his mate. And he was coming for her. When he reached her, when he knew her safety was ensured, then both Arthur and Ranger would die. Leaving them alive wasn't an option. Alive, they'd always search for a way to escape. The risk that they'd find a way to hire out another attempt on Chelsea's life was too high. Come dawn, their blood would stain the desert, and their hatred would be stilled. Their threat to his mate would never exist again. Crawling on their stomachs, he and Graham eased to the top of the shallow canyon, surprised at the area where the coyotes had chosen to camp for the night. Their campfire sent flickering shadows through the ragged cut formed into the earth. The coyotes, along with Arthur and Ranger, were positioned at the wide mouth of the canyon, while Chelsea sat inside it, too far away from the fire to feel its warmth, and the night was far too cold to allow her to maintain her body heat. Forcing his gaze from his shivering mate, Cullen slid his attention back to the coyotes as they sat around the fire. Neither of the two at the fire had been the one who'd aided the abduction of his mate. The smell of dark malevolence and old blood wasn't drifting on the breeze as it eased from the canyon. The sense he picked up assured him that he recognized the two who waited, with all apparent laziness, for whatever reason they were there. The third, next to Ranger, was another story.
"What are they doing here?" Graham hissed.